Welcome in, Third and Long listeners.
I thought we were just going to let Milli Vanilli keep playing there.
That's all the further I could go with it. I thought that was you singing there for a second.
I was lip syncing to Milli Vanilli. It's full circle. It comes all the way back around.
The young listeners are going to have to look that one up. I don't think they're going to know that one. Well, what a tough week on Friday.
Such a tough week.
I still haven't recovered from it. I'm still just kind of going back through the game. We were looking at some stuff.
Yeah. It was such a winnable football game. It was actually a really evenly matched football game, one that could have gone either way. Just a couple mental mistakes here and there. And, whether that be a blown coverage or letting, having someone beat you to the inside, an untimely fumble. It's just the breaks just did not go our way in that game. And it was, again, it was a fun game to watch, but man, it was a heartbreaking one.
Yeah. And I keep forgetting, I always want to start us off. Third and Long listeners, our website is down currently.
It's still down. Okay.
Yeah, I've got a message out to the web server guy, but that's just not my specialty. So
right.
I apologize. We'll try to get that up and running. If not, you've got Spotify, you've got Apple Podcast. If there's anything else that you guys want, let us know. We'll try to get that on there.
Absolutely.
So you can listen to this.
We're here to serve.
We also would love to have some more reviews. So if you could put 5-star, just takes 1 minute while you're listening to this, that would be huge.
I've got, mom and dad always come through. I got a phone call this week from mom and dad.
They gave us a five-star rating. Yeah. If mom and dad are doing it, let's get the rest
out there.
It's going to be huge. Another perfect night, though. We could not handpick better. Knock on wood.
Absolutely.
This has just been like ideal football conditions. It was homecoming. I thought the crowd was great.
Great crowd.
The
students were in it.
Yeah.
My bathroom was covered in black face paint from the 8th grade girls who decided to get ready here at
Blackout Night.
It was blackout night, and they went all out. People showed up. Honestly, the team showed up. It was a fun football game. It was an exciting football game. There was plenty of points, plenty of long passes.
Yep.
Again, it wasn't a ground and pound game. It was a lot of fun to watch.
I felt really bad for the Tipton boys just because I know how much it means to them. I knew how big of a game this was for us.
Yep.
We needed some payback. There's a lot of payback we owe Comanche. There's been numerous years they knocked us out of the playoffs, I think, in 2019.
Yep.
We've had some just back-and-forth games with them, so there's definitely some payback that needed to happen.
Right.
They squeaked that one out. They stole it from us.
They did. And you can tell it was a little bit chippy on the field as well, so that always adds a little bit more to it. These weren't two teams that were really, really loving each other. I saw Peyton Kroc help up a person. That's about it. That was about as
trying to save this
we saw.
Probably better help this guy.
It was a late hit. So no.
No, it kind of went the way we thought it was. They didn't have much on the ground attack. I think their leading rusher had 34 yards on 10 carries.
Yep,
and they did kind of exactly what we thought. They were going to throw the ball. They had a ton of success through the air. I thought, defensively, this is the first game where I was like, I didn't think our defense was at the same level as our offense. And I say that because we gave up 273 yards, but those three touchdowns, there could have been more. There were some drop passes.
There was some drop passes.
And I know from a defensive philosophy standpoint, the way we were playing defense, we were not supposed to be getting beat over the top at any point. We give up the small little underneath routes. But there was probably three or four passes that were dropped. One was in the guy's hands, I thought it was a touchdown.
I was watching the reaction of Coach Nord and Coach Ormsby when we did get beat over the top. And you can tell that was a point of emphasis. That was not in the plans.
Now,
so
I will say the Caesar kid, as weak as he is and gave away, he still was giving away every play. I mean, it was to the point where I was trying to yell it out. It doesn't, as a cornerback, there's only so much you can do when you can see it's a run versus a pass. But the one play where I think it was Jason Johnson on his, it's either the pick or it was his catch.
Okay.
I think it was his catch where he ran and it looked like he was going to score.
Yep,
and that Caesar kid ran him down from the 40.
He did.
He was running. He must have ran a 4.3 40 to catch him because it was incredible.
The guy's like 6'5" and has some long strides. But yeah, he's when he wanted to work, he was a good football player. It was just
I didn't see him wanting to work other than when he was going deep.
Took a lot of plays off. Yeah, exactly.
He did have 8 catches, 128 yards, 2 touchdowns. He basically let us have a touchdown in our opening drive. He didn't do anything and left a guy wide open in the corner there.
I'll take it. I'll take that.
It was Barton, and he just kind of – I thought for sure we were going to keep going at him.
Yeah. Again, like you said, they did everything that we thought they would do. They couldn't get much going on the ground. For the most part, when their quarterback left the pocket, he'd throw to the side of the pocket he left. For the most part, when he stayed in the pocket, he liked to throw in between the hashes. A lot of times down seam routes, down the hashes. And
they were either killing us with the seam route, but they also had that number 4, Gavin Baker.
Yes.
He was a pain in our butt. Number 4.
And he's the one that ended up sealing the game at the end.
8 catches, 114 yards. He had a touchdown. He was finding a way to kind of hit those out routes, and they were just hitting him nonstop, it felt like.
It was kind of brutal. But my hope was that we would push them towards the sideline and make the sideline a defender and take away inside routes. But again, I saw probably a hair too much cushion from our corners.
Well, I think they were trying to respect the Caesar kid,
which they should.
But they kind of weren't in certain instances. So they're giving a lot of cushion to the underneath stuff. I almost would have, hindsight's 20/20. You could look back.
Sure.
The guy was just faster than us in terms of running the deep routes on some of that stuff.
Yeah.
You wonder if a cover two, having a guy on the line of scrimmage to cover the flats and then someone over the top for the deep ball. But, we felt like we could sit in our cover three and guard it both. And for the most part, we did hold them down. Obviously, first half, we only gave up that first opening drive touchdown.
Only one score in the first half.
And then the second half, it was just a tale of kind of some errors that happened. We were watching we couldn't remember the start of the second half, and it was we got the ball up 7-6.
Yep.
We drove down the field down to almost the 20-yard line.
I was gonna say the rain it all the way to the 6 or 7.
Jason Johnson it's kind of a counter play that we were running a ton of on Friday night. I'd seen that all year and just kind of ran that counter. He got to the outside. Had a first down going, it'd be first and goal, and I can't remember who the receiver was. They got him on a phantom hold call.
Yeah, not
a huge fan of it.
I might protest that call. Yeah. And that it stalled a really nice drive by Tipton.
It did. And then so we ended up going for it on fourth, didn't get it. Gave it back to Comanche, and this is where these are the type of plays you'd like to see us turn around. They had third and 23.
Yep, third and 23.
And you're thinking, okay, we're going to have them punt out of
deep
their own end zone.
It was on the eight yard line, yeah.
And we gave up a first down, 24-yard pass or 26-yard pass. That's the stuff that just you can't have happen.
I think it was to number 4. To your point, number 4 found ways to make really timely plays for
the match. I don't think they scored on that play, on that possession, but what they did do is they got down and they had this kind of a weird punt that we couldn't field.
Yep.
Rolled down to the own 10. So that's the difference in 50 yards. They flipped the field, and from then on, that was kind of the difference, in my opinion, that second half. We went from going in to score, put us up 2 touchdowns, to it was a different type of second half with that.
And one thing we mentioned last time, too, is we were going to be putting our corners and our safeties on islands with a lot of these wide receivers. And we knew that these guys would need to make tackles, so I did want to kind of give out a shout out to our defense and our ability to make open field tackles, because I think we did a really good job of that.
We did.
On Friday night, we had 46 total tackles in that game. 27 of them were solo tackles. A lot of them, again, by Wyatt Ham, Jason Johnson, Gavin Sorton-Fry, and our D-back, Max and Fogg, our D-backs who were one-on-one Islanders that, they might have given up the pass or the reception in front of them. But they did make sure-handed tackles. We didn't miss a ton of tackles on Friday night, which was good. Our leading tackler was Wyatt Ham with 7, and then we have a whole host of guys at 4, Jason Johnson, Gavin, Sorgan Fry, Braxton Heffernan, and Peyton Kroc.
Like I said, our run defense was stout, and we're going to talk about it here in a little bit because we've got Anamosa coming to town. I like seeing that our run defense basically forced them into passing. Obviously, their passing was effective, though, and that's what basically won Comanche the game was their ability to move the ball down the field.
Absolutely.
In the air. And so hopefully we make some adjustments. This is 2 weeks in a row now. We've got to get things firmed up on the pass defense, and I think if we do that, we've got a real chance. And I was talking with Coach Nord a little bit. you know, obviously the road to playoffs now, Comanche was a team that we really wanted. That would have set us up really well for the remainder of the season. With this loss, it puts us in this weird spot.
We got to win.
We're hoping, we're cheering for teams that normally we don't. Right. You know, I think obviously we need Monticello to continue to lose. Yep. Obviously need, that's a must-win game at the end of the year. We have to beat Monticello at the end of the year.
Yep.
And then we've got to hope Comanche keeps winning. We've got to hope West Liberty keeps winning.
Mm-hmm.
This week is probably the most crucial game of the season right now, Anamosa. We win this, we have the tiebreaker over them. They also have two losses. It fits really well if we can if we win this week, and then obviously it sets up a big Northeast
week. The goals are still within reach.
It is.
And they are.
You win all three of our games, we're most likely going to playoffs.
Yep.
You win two of the three, and some things have to happen.
Yep.
You win one of the three, we're sitting at home. That's how it basically works out. Yeah. This starts this week. You know, if I'm the boys, I'm putting all my chips on the table. Everything I got is going into this Anamosa game because we have to win this.
Absolutely.
We really have to win this.
Absolutely. And so, again, just kind of to put the bow on Friday night and on homecoming night. On the last thing on the defensive side, it was really nice to have Braxton Heffernan back.
He was
very noticeable. And in our defensive line, the guy was noticeable. Four total tackles, 2.5 were for losses. He had our only sack of the night. He was putting a lot of pressure on that quarterback all night, and so having him back was a really, really big deal. So, and on the offensive side, I do think there were some miscues on the offensive side, some drop passes, maybe some missed blocks that I guarantee they watched film and want to have back. On the most part, though, it was really nice having Aiden Boston back.
I was going to say, Aiden Boston made a world of difference. Just his leadership, coming back, his legs, led our team in rushing, 13 carries, 124 yards with that touchdown. He's elusive. He finds little openings, and he just takes off and, you know, gets a lot of first downs based off his running.
Yep.
He also, I thought, was pretty effective passing the ball. 13 for 25, 187 yards, obviously that touchdown on our opening score. No picks. So
he was very smart with the ball.
Yep.
And there wasn't even any dropped picks by Comanche. I mean, he put the ball in really good spots where only we could catch him on Friday night.
I thought he looked really good in his return. Obviously, he got out in the pocket. You're a little nervous about, keeping his head. He did have the what are those things called? Yep. Guardian caps on.
Yep. He had the extra shell on, which is good.
I like
good.
Those.
I've
got a son coming up. He might be hating me, but I think I'm going to have him with
me. I'll be honest, you watch the highlights of the 4 and 5A schools, I'd say a third of the players
they can
on the
make
field
those look cooler. I think the kids would buy in. Exactly. They just don't look cool, so the kids don't want to wear them. NFL players, they all practice in them all week.
Absolutely.
They are given the option to do it during the game, but
there's
some claims out there it cuts down 50%, 40% in concussions. If you're giving that stat and that's for real, and I don't see why you wouldn't want to.
What's great is Aiden's actually the first person I've seen live with it, and sure didn't slow him down at all. He was outrunning people.
They're pretty
night.
Light.
Yep. Yeah, he was outrunning people. So I think the only argument against would probably be they don't look as cool, maybe. But man, that did some.
So we did see a little different offensive set. I there was a ton of kind of this misdirection. I think we were trying to get their linebackers and defensive end to bite on some stuff. We had some jet motion coming across with Gavin Sorgenfrey.
Yep.
A lot of fakes, counters, read options. You saw that basically. It was basically a fake to Sorgenfrey, fake to Christian, and then Boston would run after reading that.
Saw that a couple times, multiple times.
Yep, so you had Boston with 13 carries. Christian never quite got that stuff going. He had 31 yards on 16 carries, but he did have a big touchdown there. He'd like to see him get one of those big chunk plays that he's normally getting. We'll hopefully get some of those this week.
They're coming.
But it was nice to see Gavin Sorgenfrey had his first breakout as a receiver. Five catches, 55 yards. Good job, Gavin. Barden with that opening touchdown, 3 catches, 34 yards. Jacob Boddicker had 3 catches, 27 yards. And then Jason Johnson had 2 catches, 71 yards, with the one where he ran basically a little 8-yard out, caught it. And then somehow he broke through, and boom, he took off towards the end zone. And I thought he was going to score.
Right up until number two caught him.
Yeah, and that's the only guy that was going to catch him.
Absolutely.
Was number two. Everyone else had given up. Kudos to number two for saving it. But that was a great play by Jason to break free and get it down there. I thought that was a huge play in the game. He also had a pick as well. We forgot to mention that. But
yes, Jason had a pick. I think the coaches, I think the coaching staff, I think we had the right idea on our offensive scheme coming into that football game. You and I talked last week about running counters against Comanche because they did kind of bull rush upfield, and they did give up lanes on counters. And we ran a lot of counters, and we started to notice that when they learned that we were going to run counter, that's when we did the fake counter and went out to Gavin. And that's where Gavin got a lot of his yards on the outside. So
Gavin's developing a little spin move. I don't know. He had one play. I think he spun three different times.
I love Gavin. We all love Gavin. He's got to. He better put that ball away. I'm just saying. He's got it out there a little bit. Yeah. So I need him to shore that up a little bit. Maybe stick it to his side a little.
Yep. No. It was nice to see us kind of break open a little offense.
Yeah.
We're obviously going to need it here this week against Anamosa.
Yes, absolutely.
Which we're going to talk about here next.
All right,
so it's Anamosa week. The one shocker, I wasn't really into looking at scores after the Tipton game. I was just kind of bummed.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that kind of caught me off guard was the game last week was West Liberty against Anamosa.
Yeah, when you looked at our district, I just kind of assumed Anamosa was going to...
I almost had them as our favorite, like the favorites to win the whole district.
I agree. And so I did not see West Liberty.
They ended up winning. West Liberty won 28-14, which is an eye-opener for me, knowing that we're playing Anamosa, as well as it was a big one for us because it allows for us to potentially beat Anamosa and have the tiebreaker over them.
Honestly, West Liberty did us a massive favor there.
We said we were big cheerleaders of West Liberty.
And so for us to, if we can walk into Anamosa on Friday night and kind of shock the district, let's do it. I think that's I look at this team on film. I look at the stats. I look at everything. And I know I've said this for a couple weeks in a row now. This is a winnable football game if we show up to play.
Yep.
And if we clean up some of the little mistakes we had last time with a little bit of blown coverages and letting receivers have free inside routes on us, stuff like that. Like, if we shore up some of what we're doing, we're a good enough football team to beat this team, without a doubt. We have the horses to run with this team.
Yeah. And I, looking at Anamosa this year, there's someone that we there's a lot of payback that is required. It was 2 years ago at Anamosa, we lost just the most unfavorable game. We were up by 7 with I think it was like 40 seconds. They went down and scored, take the game to overtime. It just, there's games like that that there's just years of pent up. We have retaliation that needs to happen with these guys. And
we should have a senior class that's a little angry.
There's two players. If you watch Anamosa at all, if you watch wrestling at all, you're going to recognize these two names. They're two brothers, a senior, number 26, Austin Scranton. Kid's got 122 yards, 824 yards rushing, 9 touchdowns. He's averaging 7 yards a carry.
122 carries.
122 carries.
Yards.
Yes. He is their heart and soul on offense and defense.
Yep.
He's a wrestler. He's tough. He's big. He's strong. He's a guy that we did a really good job last year of bottling up.
Yep.
And just when you think you're happy with not having to deal with him, he has a younger brother. He's a junior. He's got 25 carries, 232 yards, 3 touchdowns, and his yards per carry are 9.3 yards per touch.
9 yards a carry.
Now, there is an asterisk next to Hudson, and the asterisk is this. In the West Liberty game
that they lost, their only loss on the year,
he did not play.
So, we don't have any moles inside the Anamosa programs. We don't know what's wrong with him.
Slide up there and see if he's practicing.
I don't know if that's an injury. I don't know if he was not feeling good. He had an illness.
So one less Scranton is always a good thing.
That would be great.
We can't confirm whether he's out for this game. Maybe he had a concussion previously, so he was out for a game.
Yeah.
But obviously a big piece of what they do on offense outside of his brother, Austin. Having him down will definitely allow us to key in a little bit on the run game. They do pass the ball, though. At first, I thought this was a team that just ran it down people's throats, which is what they've done previously.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team that can definitely throw it. In fact, they throw it just as much as they pass it. 125 attempts. They're completing about half of those.
Yep.
Almost 855 yards passing, 8 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Vince Deers, number 10.
Vince Deers is a senior. You look at him, this is a 60% completion rate. Yeah, he's not a bad quarterback.
And it's not like he's throwing it to one player. They've got three players that they consistently throw at.
Yep.
Their leading receiver, number 18, Nate Fisher. He's got 25 catches, 323 yards, 2 touchdowns. Number 9, Adam Brophy, 16 catches, 194 yards, 2 touchdowns. And then Dane Owens got 17 catches, 103 yards. So they move the ball around. Yep. They probably, you know, just looking at it, they're spreading you out.
Yep.
They give you those islands, and then they're saying, we're going to give it to Scranton if you're too far out, or we're gonna pass it on you if you try to load it up.
It's going to feel a lot like Comanche in the fact that, yes, our defensive backfield is going to be on islands. They're going to have to make open field tackles. We have to cover these guys. And our insides has to shut down Scranton. He's going to be a key. If we can't, they will run it down our throats all day long.
To me, this is a game where I would give up a 10-yard pass than give Scranton a free running lane. I sell out for the run.
Yep.
Make them put our cornerbacks on islands and say, hey, it's you guarding this person. I'd even bring the safeties up to help with the run fits and say,
at least one of them.
Don't get beat deep, but we're putting you on an island. Yeah. We're not going to have a lot of help on the back.
I would say at least one of them, at least Wyatt Ham, maybe bring him up. But yeah, you're going to look at Jason Johnson in this, and then whoever's going to play on the other side of the corner. I know we had Gavin Sorgenfrey and Max Leschmidt, and who else was out there? Oh, Oakley Cruz for a little bit against Comanche. And whoever we have on that other corner, Jason Johnson in that other corner, you have to come to play today, and you're going to be out there all alone, and you got to do your job.
That's so if you're looking for number 26, Austin Scranton, he's not going to be hard to find. He's 6'3", 200 pounds. So this is a player that would be on the offensive line at most programs. He's their running back, and he's got, like I said, that wrestling background, which probably helps him a little bit more on defense, but because he's one of their top defenders as well. But offensively, he's just a load to bring down. He's got good center balance. You watch him on tape, he doesn't do anything crazy, but, man, he's a guy that's always falling forward. He's getting that 4 or 5 yards every time he touches it.
And this comes up on our D-line. So again, Heffernan, Peyton Kroc, Jacob Langley, Jacob Boedeker inside there. We're going to get Colton Menti back this week. You're going to have to play a little bit with a chip on your shoulder against this guy. And
if you're going to throw an arm tackle out, you might lose your arm. So
right. Hit this guy.
Our angles need to be low, kneecaps are below, and hang on.
Hit this guy. That's
one guy slows him up, two guys stop him, and the third takes him down. And so it's going to take all 11 players coming in contact, wear this kid down.
Yep.
And, you know, we've been pretty darn good of stopping the run all year. And we faced some pretty big running backs. You know, the quarterbacks have given us a little bit of problems when they take off, but like I said, I think that we can hold them down. We did it last year. Hopefully, you know, we watched that tape.
We've been able to bottle this team up the last couple of years and then just not able to hang on.
Yep.
I think we have the game plan against this group. The 11 guys on the field have to perform. They have to do their job. You have to trust that the guy next to you is going to do your job. And just go play this game and know that you can win this football game.
The one positive on Friday is I think we came out relatively healthy, all things considered. You know, we're in the back end of the season here now.
Yep.
You're going to have the nicks and bruises, the soreness, but I think there's no major injuries. I haven't heard much on Landon Holub, although I know he's got a checkup coming.
Okay.
I'm sure it's going to be a case of can he play through something versus will the doctors allow him to come back. I'm not exactly sure. It's something in his hip, some sort of a ligament or.
That's all I heard. It was a tendon or something of some sort in his hip, and it was either something we could fix and get him back, or something that might require a little more something invasive to get fixed.
Yep. So we'll see what happens. But injury wise, I think we're healthy on that front, which is great.
And we haven't talked about offense at all, and we don't really need to. I know Aiden's healthy. Like you said, I want to see Miles Christian have a breakout style tailback game. I think we sure can. I know we can move the ball against this team. I watched West Liberty move the ball against this team. I know that we can do the same. So I'm not all that worried about our ability to, you know, to really get downfield, score some points. But it's going to take, to me, it's going to take 21 to 35 points to beat this team. They'll score. They'll find a way to score. I think they always will. But it's our offense has to. I love what we did this last week against Comanche. I love the fact that we threw it up to Barton and Boedeker a couple times. Barton is lengthy. We've talked about this since the beginning of the year, and he can go up and get footballs. And so put the ball high and make Jacob Barton go up and get some of these passes. I think we can beat this team that way. I think we can beat him down the seams. I'm not entirely sure we can beat him right up the middle, but I wouldn't mind Miles Christian wearing them down at the middle for a little bit.
So a couple things here. You look back on the Anamosa-West Liberty game. Obviously, West Liberty has some success. It was the Riker Dangler. I was hoping not to hear that name anymore, but he's back on my radar. He threw for 207 yards, 3 touchdowns. He did have 2 picks, but he ran for 142 yards. That's something I think Boston can do in this game.
I was going to say, you think Aiden Boston's not licking his chops on that?
The only issue I have with it is this is a team that absolutely gets after the quarterback. They've got 20 sacks on the year as a team. One in particular, Aiden Antonelli, I think is how you say his name. He's got almost 6 sacks, 5.5 sacks.
It's Antonelli.
Antonelli, yeah.
I actually know this kid.
Okay.
All right. He's a big kid.
8.5 tackles for loss. He's that, a guy we're going to have to watch out
for. In fact, his dad held the state bench press record for a while.
I don't like to hear that.
I didn't think anyone likes to hear that.
Like to hear that. And you add in the 2 Scranton boys and this guy. But, he's got 5.5 sacks. There's a bunch of them that have 3 sacks. So, they're getting to the quarterback.
In that case, offensive line, have some pride. Do your job.
Yeah.
Keep your quarterback safe.
But they obviously last week they let it loose. One of their leading tacklers is Hudson Scranton. I don't know if he's playing. Exactly. Austin Scranton is obviously playing both ways. So, got to keep an eye on those two boys. They're wrestlers. They know how to get a guy on the ground.
Yep.
And they're going to do that on a very high level. But I think, just from looking at it, they gave up most of their yards with either the quarterback running or through the air. And I think we need to have a similar philosophy.
180 yards through the air, 207 yards on the ground for West Liberty last week.
Yep.
We can move the ball on this team. We have to believe we can move the ball. And like I just said, offensive line, if you're listening to this, have some pride.
Yep.
That's your quarterback back there. He's already suffered through an injury this year. I get he's going to run, so he's going to put himself in a little bit of danger no matter what. But have some pride. Keep your quarterback clean. Keep your quarterback safe. A former offensive lineman here, do your job. If you do your job, we beat Anamosa.
And I think you also extend it out to the receivers, because a lot of times the difference between a 50-yard touchdown run versus a 20-yard run by a quarterback is an extra block by a receiver.
Absolutely.
Maybe not holding, so we get those phantom holding calls.
Yeah, right.
But if you just get a body in front of a D-back, that little bit, you don't have to even have your hands on them. Just the bodies in front of them, stay on them. If you can do that, I think Boston can find his way through and break one of those big touchdowns.
It takes all 11. Just like I said, go out there, do your job. This is a winnable football game. Go win this football game.
We definitely need it. This is the biggest game of the year. I hate to say it's a must win, but it's as close to a must win as we're going to have if we want to make the playoffs.
Yep.
And I think it's going to turn this season around if you can take down who I thought was probably the district preseason favorite, and halfway through the season was probably the favorite. So
and now West Liberty might have given us the, you know, the game film on how to make it happen.
Yeah, I know. I hate to even go this route, but the district is still in play. A lot of things have to happen. But if you look at it, Anamosa, who got beat by West Liberty, at any point I think any of these teams can lose 2 more games or 3 games potentially if you find the right matchups and the right injuries happen.
And we might as well go out and win 3 more.
Let's do it. Yeah, I agree. So game is in Anamosa, not that far away. In fact, I had a little stat the other day. Anamosa's hospital is the closest hospital to Tipton.
Are you serious?
Yeah, which is just a weird stat. But
I was going to say.
ER.
Still, with Iowa City and Cedar Rapids and Davenport right there.
So if you have an issue, their ER is the closest to Tipton.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I know there's a prison there. It's probably the closest prison to us.
A lot of history in that town.
Yes, there is.
So, yeah, we were just there for cross-country meets. Neat little town.
We were.
Some good restaurants. But I love to go up there. They've kind of got a neat football setting up on the bottom. They do. They have a little hill up above it, and
they dedicated that field to a former NFL player that came out of Anamosa back in the
Marshall
day.
Marshall Yanda, right?
Well, it's not that. Oh, it's not. This would be like some like 1940s or something. So
Marshall Yanda came out of Anamosa.
So again, there's some good football tradition up in Anamosa. It is a cool setting. Would love to have you guys to have the listeners there cheering on these.
Friday night at kickoff, sunny and 65 degrees.
Let's go.
Just perfect.
Let's go. That sounds ideal.
So hopefully see y'all up there on Friday night. Like I said, this is a big football matchup for us, and we need to come out with
a victory. Let's cheer on the Tigers.
Yep. All right, Clint. So moving on from football, let's talk a little bit of volleyball. You've been going to a couple of these.
I was going to say we are deep in the heart of volleyball season right now.
2 weeks left, right?
About three, I think.
But no more home games. We had senior night already.
Yep, home games are done. How crazy is that? We're playing in Wellman tomorrow night in Mid-Prairie.
That's a tough one.
That'll be a tough one. And then next week we're in Comanche.
Because they're ranked, I think, sixth. Yes. State right now?
Yes. Yeah. Mid-Prairie's good. Then we're at Comanche next week, and over the weekend we're in a tournament in Western Dubuque where our second game is against Mount Vernon.
Who I will be talking about in what I learned.
Okay, perfect.
That's just a get out of there game.
Yeah, that kind of is. But this last week, if you remember on the podcast last week, we did that right before the senior night game on Thursday night. So that was senior night. We played West Branch. We beat West Branch. So it was a great senior night.
Always great to beat West Branch.
Great to get out of push our seniors out of their home schedule on a win, and so that was fun to watch. I think the girls had a ton of fun. That was just again, all around good game. I can't think of anyone who really didn't show up for that game, and so and the crowd was fantastic for that game as well. So everyone showed up, and appreciate that. This last weekend we had a tournament in North Cedar at Clarence, which is always hard because it's homecoming night.
Yeah.
So you're having a tournament, and the girls are wanting to go get their hair done and their dresses put on, and I get it, and I understand, and I feel like it's...
We need to not schedule that.
This is every year. This is every year we have a tournament on homecoming.
It's a cross-country meet as well, which gets over in plenty of time.
Exactly. But that's over in the morning, but it's insane. So so either way, I think we won one and lost two.
I did not like seeing us lose to North Cedar, but it didn't sound like we played well.
That was not a great game for us, and we smoked North Cedar in the first set, and then we were way up in the second set, and all of a sudden the wheels just fell off, and then they played the third set to 15 and beat us. And but either way, speaking of which, I see that Molly Reese, one of the best players at North Cedar, might have ripped her knee up basketball on Sunday.
So she might be out for a season. I think that's her second time, too.
And like I said, if it's as bad as what her mom's looking like on Facebook, she might be out for basketball season, too, which would be horrible.
Hate seeing that.
Yeah, she's a great athlete and a great kid. But either way, so like I said, this week, tomorrow night, we're at Mid-Prairie, and then we are going ahead to Western Dubuque this weekend, and then Comanche next Thursday.
Awesome.
So,
well, let's move into the cross country season. We are winding down, starting to get that taper, I think, next week, where they start doing less workouts. Their legs are all fresh going into district and state. But we had a meet at Anamosa last Saturday.
Yep.
Which got our middle school runners back at it. They had a long break. You could see that it was kind of it wasn't their best meet, and it's a longer course.
They did amazing.
I say that just because I'm prefacing what's I thought last night they just did an unbelievable job. They had a huge break in between the last run, and so we started with the middle school boys and girls both did a nice job. The varsity team I thought ran some really good times. Some PRs were out there.
Tons of PRs out there last.
Yeah, good competition.
Oh, Anamosa.
And Anamosa, yes.
Man, last night was PR Nation.
Yeah, so Anamosa, we'll just move off from that one because it's just one of those Saturday meets. It was beautiful weather once again.
Yep.
But last night, Williamsburg, the course, I've heard it was wheeled out twice, and it was right on 3.12. If you were to ask me that based off the times, I would tell you it's a short course. Because
I couldn't agree more.
Everyone had a PR out there.
Like it, like I think I would have had a PR if I would.
Jill Ingalls was out there posting on Facebook and doing the PR parentheses. It was the team. The team had a PR.
Pretty much their team had PRs. There's a lot going on there. It's really flat course.
It is.
And it's not a very viewable. There's a lot of just kind of spots at the end, but a lot of the course is in the back of their little YMCA. It's hard to watch. Yep. But the kids all ran well. The middle school ran a mile and a half. The boys had some PRs. I know the girls got second place by like 5 points behind Solon, just unbelievable.
Just barely. And I have a fun story on that. I know the Solon middle school girls coach. I actually knew her from the days I lived in Coralville, and I was talking with her, and we beat Solon at the Tipton meet earlier this year.
Right, yeah.
And she had told me that she can remember that's the first time they've ever been beat anywhere by any school.
Wow.
At any point. And so they were a little broken up by Tipton beating them at the Tipton meet earlier this year.
Oh, that brings me great joy.
And their breakout sense at the end of practice has been beat Tipton.
Get out of here.
So, yeah.
Well, cry me a river, Solon. Because now
let's
let's take them out. I can't wait to beat them.
Let's go.
But if there is any of those runners that want to come to Tipton, we do have some openings for you if you want to be a part of it. So, but yeah, the varsity team, I was super impressed. Our number one runner on the girls' side, Noel Steinis, was under the weather. So we were down, obviously, our top dog, and they came through
if there's a time to get sick, it's right now and not a conference or district. So good for her.
So we all ran some PRs. Laura had her second time under 20.
20 seconds. Yeah, 20 minutes.
That's Elahine, awesome. My daughter, got her first PR in the 20s. So she ran the 20s. Like I said, it was a nice fast course. And
good
then
job, Ella.
Carly Hines, Alexa Fitzgerald.
By the way, Ella turned 16 today.
Yesterday.
Ella turned 16. Oh, yeah.
It's scary. Watch out, road warriors.
You had to do the cake after the meet, I saw.
That's right. So watch out there. And then on the boys' side, I thought it was a really nice meet for the boys. Clay and Caleb ran really good times. Yep. Xander ran a good time. Owen Bolt, I think, had a career best time.
Like you did, too.
Coming in fourth. And then Silas was a little under the weather, but he finished fifth. And I think that is a loaded field. The boys finished fourth or fifth.
There's like 19 teams there.
Yeah.
Like it was an insane field.
And I don't know if we're going to add it in this week, but I did get two interviews from on the girls' side. I haven't done on the boys' side.
I like that.
From Laura and Noel.
I love that.
I'm going to try to add that into this podcast. So
I love that.
We'll do it here in a second, and you can listen to that. They're just a minute each, just kind of talking about the season. But we're hoping to do more of that just because this is what it's about. We want to highlight our athletes at Tipton. And so we need to do some more times of actually getting them on here and doing some interviews. So
right. I love that.
Let's listen to those interviews now. All right, third and long listeners, we are with our very first interview ever with the Noel Steinis. She just ran an 18:27.
What?
Is that what you ran? Let's take a peek. She ran, 18:39, sorry.
Okay.
I was pumping her up there. 18:39, beat the rest of the field by a minute. What do you think of your race today?
Well, our workout that we did on Thursday was hard. It was a ladder. We did like 1600 and built our way down. But other than that, the weather's really kind of nice. Like the wind is definitely hard, but it definitely like sucks out all the not tough people. You know, it's only the tough.
Halfway point of the season. What are you feeling about where you're at right now?
I feel good. I'm having fun. I'm focusing on just like having fun with my team, not worrying about the placing, because that's when things don't get fun and you wonder why you're not doing it. You're doing it. So
we got Williamsburg on Tuesday, and then we start closing out and start tapering.
Yeah, but I won't be there on Tuesday because I'm going to Liberty.
Nice. Another college visit. You just went to Colorado, I believe.
Yep.
So you're kind of getting down there. When are you hoping to have a decision?
Probably within next month.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get it on Third and Long Listeners. We'll do an exclusive reveal.
I would love that.
All right. Well, very good. Well, good luck with your visit to Liberty. And then we'll keep watching the rest of the year. Love it.
Thanks.
Yep. All right. We are here with the homecoming queen, senior Laura Owen. Welcome to Third and Long, Laura.
Hello.
Just got done running. Had a great time here. I think you took it by a whole minute from your PR. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Here at Anamosa?
I think last year I ran 21:45, and today I ran a 20:37.
So what a great way to end your senior year here at Anamosa. You'll never run here again. You're at the halfway point of your season. Talk to me about how you think the season's going.
I think our team's doing really well. We're ranked third right now overall in the state, and we've been beating Monticello consistently, which is really great because past...
I haven't beat them in a while.
I know. The past 3 years I've been here, it's like they're unbeatable. So we've been doing really good at that, and we've been placing really good at our meets. We've just had a struggle with the 3A teams, which is typical because they're bigger and faster, but I think we have a really good chance for this, like, conference, districts, and state coming up here soon, so.
Talk to me about the second half of the year. What's the plan here?
I think the plan is in a week, or not a week, like a few weeks here.
Start tapering down?
Start tapering, and then we're really going to start.
Love it.
We're really going to start showing out on the courses here, so.
Well, Third and Long, can't wait to watch you. Keep it up, and let's keep getting those PRs at these courses, all right?
Yep. All right. Tigers.
Tigers.
All right, Clint, let's move on to our football contest picks. How'd you do last week?
God, I lost again last week. You went 13-5. I went 12-6. It actually did come down to that Bears game.
I knew that Bears game would help.
God dang it. Just killed me.
All right, well, let's roll into it. Some good games this week. Monticello and Comanche. Well, we haven't seen Monticello.
No.
We just got a front view look of Comanche. This one's tough. I am going to start us off. I'm going with Monticello.
Ooh.
I hope Comanche wins. I'm a fan of Comanche this week.
There you go.
But I think Monticello's going to get them.
All right, well, I'm going to go Comanche just because obviously we saw them, and I think they can throw the ball anywhere they want.
All right, this one could be for the district title. I'm going to let you pick first, Northeast and West Liberty.
Man, I just...
Good game.
West Liberty's obviously shown me a lot. I'm going to have to go West Liberty. Until they prove me wrong, I'm going to have to go West Liberty.
All right, I'm going to do the opposite. I'll go Northeast.
All right. This is good.
All right. Anamosa Tipton. I get the first pick.
You do.
First time on Third and Long that I've ever done this, but I want to win this football contest, and I'm going with my head, not my heart.
Yep.
I'm picking Anamosa, and I hope it. I hope it riles up the feathers of the players, and I hope it makes them mad, and that they come to me and say, we told you you picked wrong. I'm picking Anamosa in spite. But I do obviously want the Tigers to win this, but I'm going Anamosa.
All right. Well, I have to go Tipton, so which means we're three opposite picks in the first three games.
Good. Well, this one will change it. East Buchanan against North Cedar. I'll let you go first.
I have picked against East Buck every time this year, but I got to go East Buck.
Throw me down for East Buchanan as well. All right, next one, Maquoketa Valley and Bellevue.
This Mac Valley is the real deal. I just don't understand why Bellevue's constantly in this pick-em. Is the paper editor from Bellevue?
They're from either Postville, Starmont, Clayton Ridge, or Northland. I don't know which one they're from. But
well, I'm going Mac Valley.
Throw me down for Mac Valley as well.
All right,
this one, I've done some scouting on this one. Postville against Starmont.
You actually did scouting on this one.
I did.
I did not, and...
This is your first pick.
I'm going to go Starmont.
Dang it. I will also go Starmont.
All right.
Clayton Ridge against Northland. Throw me down for Northland.
I got to go Northland on that one, too.
Okay. And then Ohio State, Iowa. Big one in the Big Ten here.
Come on, Clint. This is where I'll go with my head.
Wait a minute.
And this one's going to be Ohio State.
Pick Iowa.
What's not happening?
So, same thing. I want Iowa to desperately win this game. If Iowa wins this, we are playoff bound.
Yes.
If we lose it, we are unfortunately not.
No, not with two losses. We're done.
Ohio State, Will Howard, too much running game.
$21 million in NIL just to the freshman class.
Unbelievable. I think we're going to slow them up. The line's 20. I think it'll be right around that point. I think they'll win by three touchdowns.
Yeah.
I got Ohio State. Right. It's going to be a close at half, and I think they'll run away within the second half.
Yeah.
All right, next one. Iowa State-Baylor. Iowa State is off to their best start since 2000. Seneca Wallace season. Lane Danielson.
Yep.
Give me what you got. This is usually that trap game that Iowa State comes off a big win.
It's always the trap game for Iowa State.
Baylor's.
My hope is that Iowa State realizes this is their trap game and they actually don't let it be a trap game. Baylor, to me, is not the team that they've been in the past. They're not. Go Iowa State.
I'm right with you. I think Baylor's down, and I will go Iowa State as well. Next game should be a good one. Northern Iowa and South Dakota State. I'll let you go first here.
I got to go South Dakota State on this. South Dakota State is just
I'm in the same boat.
Just their tradition is amazing.
They've kind of taken over as the North Dakota State for that division. You know,
it's absolutely.
They're taking that over.
Yep.
Central College Simpson, throw me down for Central, unless they're playing Wartburg, but they're not.
Dang it, I got to go Central as well, just because the only time they let me down was against Wartburg this year.
Texas A&M against Missouri, big game here.
That is a big game.
Big SEC matchup.
I'm going to have to, this one's tough. I'm going to go A&M.
I will go Missouri. Luther Burden, he's a problem. He'll be a top five pick in the draft. Heisman candidate if he does well here. I'm going Missouri Tigers. Next game, Oklahoma State against West Virginia. Kansas State put a hurting on Oklahoma State last week.
Just pounded
West Virginia's them. Not quite there. I am going to go Oklahoma State. I think they're going to have a rebound.
Oklahoma State disappointed me last week, and I have not heard a single thing about West Virginia this year.
Yeah.
They don't know their stadium even wash away during
Halloween. Sounds like they're really, really good. You should probably go with them.
I'm going to go Okie State. I know.
Can talk you into it. The red hot Minnesota Vikings. Who had that in their bingo card?
No one.
4-0 against the New York football Jets.
Sam
Darnold, who was drafted by the Jets, right?
Yeah.
Is now going against them after a 4-0 start. A lot of redemption quarterbacks here. You got Baker Mayfield and Geno Smith.
I got to go Vikings. I got to go Vikings on this.
Oh, I'm going Jets. Vikings run ends now. But their defense is legit.
Actually, wouldn't hate that. But
yeah, I'd be very happy with that, so I'm going with it. All right, the battle of the turds, the Bears against the Panthers. Andy Dalton against Caleb Williams. Who's the worst quarterback?
Justin Fields, 2.0.
Justin Fields is 4-0.
Well, in a Bears uniform. I'm going Bears. Going Bears.
We're getting off topic.
It's against the Panthers.
If the Bears hung on to Justin Fields,
yes,
they could have traded down 3 times in the draft and still got the player they wanted and had first-round draft picks for the next probably 3 years.
But they gave up everything.
Well,
they also drafted a punter in the first round.
And he is
one time.
And
no,
and
Torrey Taylor. Yes.
Caleb Williams said, "You do not have to worry about punting in Chicago." Guess what, Torrey Taylor? You are now the superhero in Chicago. It's funny how Torrey Taylor is the hero now. But I will go Bears as well. I think the Panthers are not good.
Garbage.
Rams, Packers. This is your pick.
I'm going to go Packers on this.
I will also go Packers. Bengals, Ravens. I will take the Ravens.
Got to go Ravens.
And last one, this
they're so good.
This next one is really good. Texans, Bills. This is brought to you by Ken Do Handyman. Who is that?
I have no idea.
Okay. Call that person.
Call it up. Texans, Bills.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. I think the Bills take this just because they're angry about last week. And they should be.
I'm going with the Texans.
All right.
I think Texans got a little more offensive firepower, and their defense is pretty stout as well, although it didn't show against the Vikings. So.
Love it.
All right, let's move on to our last segment. What did we learn? I've got 3 things, so I'm going to go real quick.
Do it.
First one is Jackson Holliday, 20-year-old outfielder for the Baltimore Ravens. Actually, he's not an outfielder. He's a shortstop.
Okay.
He's 20 years old. They clinch the playoffs. What do they do when they clinch?
You go celebrate. Champagne all over.
He had to do water.
Because he's 20
years old.
He's too young for the champagne.
How crazy is that? So that's my first thing. Second thing is, you mentioned we play Mount Vernon volleyball.
We do.
Mount Vernon is on a different level in terms of the play that they have.
Yep.
They will win 3A volleyball this year. I would be willing to put a lot of money on that.
Yep.
They're just a really good volleyball team. If you want to go out and watch them, go check them out.
They're good.
It might be at the expense of the Tipton Tigers. But just to give you a stat, Sydney Hubler, who's a senior, she has 759 assists on the year.
Wow.
Just for reference, our leader, Tipton, has 167 assists, Pacey Sargent-Fry. So she has 7 times as many assists.
Jeez.
Their closer is Chloe Meester, who's going to Louisville. She signed as, I think, a sophomore or junior.
Not bad.
She's 6'3", just an absolute hammer. She has 357 kills on the year.
Wow.
We have a stud killer in Pacey Sorgenfrey. Pacey has 146 kills, so she has three times as many kills as Pacey, if that gives you any inclination.
And if you come to watch Pacey, you know that that's impressive.
That's exactly right. And then my last one, and I don't want to say this gives me great joy, but maybe it does. West Branch football.
West Branch Bear football.
Talking about this, but they
1% are 1% better every day. West Branch football.
Yeah. So where are they at right now?
Like, ask ChatGPT. I'm sure they can tell us on this.
At one time, I thought that took 100 days to get 100% better, but it's not. That is not correct.
That's not bad correct.
They are 2-3, which means nothing. They've had a tough schedule.
Yep.
They had to play Williamsburg, Dyke, New Hartford.
Oh God, yeah.
They've had a difficult schedule, but this week they have Regina. The following week they play number 2 Wilton. Wow. If they lose those two games, they are going to have their first losing season since, drum roll,
forever. I wouldn't even know.
Well, there's a common person that we know, a couple people that played on this season. Peterson only had one losing season.
I was going to say, I know Josh Tucker and Justin Hamilton, who played football at West Branch.
Both of those two were on the season, 2001. The only time West Branch has ever had a losing season under Butch Peterson since 1983.
Oh, my God.
And shout out to Josh Tucker for helping Butch achieve that one losing season.
Jeez, Josh.
And Justin Hamilton.
Tucker, let's go, man. Where are you
super
at?
Super disappointing. But they're on pace. They're on pace to have that losing season as a first-year head coach coming from Mount Carmel.
To not have a losing season, they're going to have a massive upset. So that's got to happen. That coach comes from a large community in Chicagoland area. He's coached big-time football. We'll see if he can get it done.
That's, I guess.
It
brings me a little bit of joy, though.
Genuinely, West Branch has a nasty schedule this year.
Yeah,
they do.
They do.
So, and keeping on the high school football theme, what I learned this week, I don't know if I learned it, but I might have to go check out this game on Friday night, to be honest with you. My old high school, which is now South Hardin High School, is ranked number 4.
Used to be Hubbard Radcliffe.
They joined up with Eldora New Providence.
Okay.
And so that turned into South Hardin. They're ranked number 4 in Class 1A and 5-0. And on Friday night at home, they play the number 1 team in Class 1A, Grundy Center, who's also 5-0.
GC.
So we got the number 1 against number 4 at number 4's home field. My best friend since I was in preschool. I ended up going and playing football at Iowa with him before he transferred to Eastern Illinois and then became a Baltimore Raven as the head coach. At South Hardin, done a heck of a job. It was kind of fun the last time I was up at the game. One of our mutual friends who's also on staff with him up there said, Nick, my buddy likes to do play calling. That's his thing. And when he's in the zone, no one talks to him. He shuts his headset off and he goes.
He knows what he wants.
He knows what he wants, and you don't bug him. And he gets into his own play calling. And I'll tell you what, it is a fun football team to watch. Proud of Nick and the program he's built up at South Hardin, and proud of those boys. Looking forward to
Your prediction?
It's South Hardin all the way. Let's go beat number 1. Let's go beat number 1.
Number 1's going to win.
Nope, number 1's going down. Grundy Center's going down.
All right. I actually hope it happens.
Let's make it happen.
I love it. Well, thank you. And for our listeners, let's get out, watch the Anamosa against Tigers, and let's get another victory, get back on that board, and start going for the playoffs.